Let's open our Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to continue our reading from the last couple of weeks as we've been examining Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 9 through 13, and I'll be reading from the New King James. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This morning we're going to continue an examination specifically of verses 11 and 12, as we see within the text our service to God and what's involved in doing it right. We began early in the chapter, the first verses, talking about the importance of the transformation that takes place in our lives from being servants of sin to becoming servants of righteousness. We looked at the idea that we are to always have humility in our service and not to think of ourselves better than other people. We looked at the responsibility we have to shrinking away from and abhorring the things that are evil. And Paul encouraged us to cling to the things that are good. As we continue our examination of the text, we find that there is an exhortation to diligent service within our lives. The Apostle Paul in this particular text is wanting us to know that serving God needs to be taken seriously. It's not something part-time. It's not something that's haphazard. In fact, we're going to look at a few quotes within the text, and these quotes will come from the New King James, so you may find a few words that vary as you're comparing them with the text of your Bible. One of the things that he says is not lagging in diligence. When we talk about this idea of not lagging in diligence, the old King James says not slothful in business. Now, quite frankly, that particular expression, not slothful in them business, might kind of divert our minds away from what he's talking about here. But in the New King James and some translations that try to use the more modern English expressions, more correctly presents it with the idea of not lagging in diligence. In other words, we need to be sure that we're understanding the importance of service that is being given. The idea of business is a sense in which the phrase diligence can be presented, but primarily it is that sense of having an earnestness to it, having a sense of haste in what we're to do. In other words, as children of God, when we determine we're going to walk with the Lord, it's not that we're going to meander with the Lord. It's not that we're going to mosey down the road with the Lord. But rather, we're going to take it seriously as our business, as our earnest expectation and diligence, the haste we have in learning what God wants us to do, and carrying it out. We often talk about the idea of growth as children of God. From the time someone comes out of the waters of baptism, they are a new creature in Christ. They're a babe in Christ. And then it becomes important that they recognize the responsibility of a steady upward, onward growth. When an individual looks at their life, having been a Christian a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5, 10 years down the road, they need to have seen significant progress in where they are spiritually. Sometimes that doesn't happen. There may be times when somebody who has been a Christian for 5 years can look and say, there are times when I was stronger and more diligent. We understand that to be true. And that can happen throughout our Christian life. But if you look at your life from the last 5 years, the last 10 years, And in reality, say spiritually, I'm not much different than when I came out of the waters of baptism. Spiritually, I'm not that much stronger. I'm not that much further along. The things that caused me to stumble, the things that sidetracked me in my service to God, the knowledge that I have about the will of God, isn't much different than that day I put on Christ in baptism. If that describes you, then you are one who is lagging in diligence. Anyone who is not willing to be hasty in their growth in the service to God. And so this is a very serious thing that he puts before us, and it is the idea then of doing what God wants us to do, doing what we have committed ourselves to do. Let's go to the Old Testament for a passage of consideration along these lines. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. It's quite simple. Be diligent. Don't lag diligence as you serve the Lord, as you're putting forth your service to God. Now, we find a number of passages that help us to understand how this happens in our lives, and we're going to read through these passages. We'll begin over in Colossians, the third chapter, reading verses 22 and 23. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. This passage in particular, while talking to the bondservant, is actually applicable to each and every one of us as children of God about our secular work. If I am a child of God that is diligent in my service to God, it's going to be reflected in the way I work in my secular job. I'm not going to be viewed by the people that I work around as an individual who always has to be asked to get some things done, who always has to be supervised, because if you turn your back on them, they're going to be gone. We had a helper one time when I was in the plumbing business with my father's business that my brothers and I joked about the fact, and we weren't really joking much about this. If a part needed to be gone, if you needed to go get a part, you couldn't send that man after it. Because you see, we might be on a job site and the warehouse might be 15 minutes away. So you figure 10 to 15 minutes of getting service there at the warehouse and coming back easily within 45 minutes to an hour. 2 hours later, he shows up. Now let me tell you, this happened just a couple of times. We knew not to send him, and eventually it happened that we sent him away with a pink slip. But the point is, his reputation became such as we could not depend upon him. He wasn't reliable. We have to have a reputation in the secular work that we're involved in that we can be counted on. We are not lagging. We're diligent in the things that we do. It's in the spiritual as well. We find that we as children of God need, as we grow in the grace and work of the Lord, to be known within the congregation as an individual that is steadily growing in the Word. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Does this describe you? It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Does this describe you? If you've been a Christian for a year, You can be described in this verse. If you've been a Christian for 40 or 50 years, you can be described in this verse. If you've been a Christian a year and aren't described in this verse, then the lesson and the encouragement we're giving applies to you. If you've been a Christian for 30, 40, or 50 years and it doesn't apply to you, then the lesson we're talking about right now in Romans 12 applies to you. As Paul says, don't lag in diligence. We need to be unmovable. We need to be steadfast. And we need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. There are areas of labor that really show that diligence. If we want to describe or wonder within ourselves, how do I decide if I'm measuring up in this diligence that he's talking about? I'll tell you this. It is not primarily the idea of coming to me privately and saying, where am I spiritually? Or going to somebody else and saying, where am I spiritually? Now let me say that others might be able to help give you some insights. But I believe that an honest examination of the things we're about to look at, if we honestly examine ourselves, we'll be able to get a good idea of where we are in certain spiritual aspects of labor before God. Over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter in verse 11, the Hebrew writer says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. How often do we find ourselves in disobedience? We know those things we know we should be in compliance with. And we just constantly are stumbling over them. That turned out to be a tongue twister. How many times do we find that circumstance because we're not diligent when we get to the temptation to be victorious over it? And we're not victorious because we don't diligently seek eternal life. The temptations that we're confronted with, oftentimes, we can look at them and say, oh, I know. Brother Shane has pointed out to us that in 1 John, the first chapter, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So yeah, there's those sins. But the blood of Christ is going to cleanse me from them. And so without diligence, I continue to fall to those sins. I would suggest to you that that's not the comfort that John is giving in 1 John, the first chapter. And it certainly isn't the attitude of diligence heading toward the rest of eternal life that the Hebrew writer is talking about. Are we looking at ourselves to say, I strive to be spotless? One of the sweet things that Miss Linda said when she came forward Wednesday night to be restored in service to the Lord and ask for our prayers on that matter was that her garment was spotted. It was dirty and it needed to be cleansed again by the blood of Christ. And that caused us all to rejoice. Here's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be eager to be spotless before God. When Satan puts a temptation before us and we're saying, okay, where's that door of escape? Where's that way of escape that 1 Corinthians 10, 13 talks about? One of them is to look at the passage like this and say, what gets me spotless here? What keeps me spotless? Here's the temptation. And remember, the temptation is in fact a filth. Here's the temptation, that sin. What stops me from committing that sin? I want spotlessness within my life. That doesn't require arrogance on our part. That doesn't require a sense of self-righteousness on our part. It requires that sense that indeed I'm eager to serve God. Paul tells Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved before God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We find ourselves indeed then individuals who are eager to handle God's word correctly. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Do you hesitate to fill your mind with the corruptions of this world? Do you make haste to fill yourself with the validity of the righteousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, these are all measuring sticks that we can use to really ask ourselves whether or not we have haste in our service to God. In 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 11, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves, what indignation with fear. What vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. The point is, they took seriously repentance. How do you handle repentance? Father, forgive me of that sin. Okay, that's done. God, forgive me of that sin. Okay, that's done. Look, if we are hasting towards service to God and an eventual home with Him, we have within us godly sorrow. Yeah, there's a sin that I committed, and yeah, oh man, that's a sin I committed. Let me just say this as a passing point to all of you and to myself. Because some of us, and I include myself in this category, who enjoy a great deal of humor and who enjoy a great deal of sarcasm. One thing we must be very careful of, and again, I don't have anybody in mind, I don't have myself in mind, and I don't have any situation in mind, but I just want to remind us, be careful about how we deal with sin in our lives and whether or not we take lightly the repentance of that sin. We need to take very seriously that sin. And if we've repented of it, we need to have a godly sorrow about that sin. And that godly sorrow does not leave room for us to be flippant about it. Doesn't leave room for us to be sarcastic about it. Doesn't leave room for us to be irreverent about the sins that we might have committed and the repentance that we bring forth. So I think if we want to measure ourselves with regard to this question, we simply must be willing to look at ourselves and say, how do I handle repentance of sin within my life? Open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy for just a moment, and let's read there. One of the best gauges we can have for whether or not I'm diligently pressing on, diligently moving toward a spiritual growth within my life, is simply to see how I measure up with what's said here, beginning at verse 5 in 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That idea of virtue there is moral courage primarily. Add moral courage. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop right there for a moment to make this observation. These are not simply some words on a page about some intellectual concept about my living. These are words that tell me about actions and attitudes I can understand and analyze within my life. I can look at my life to see whether or not I have that perseverance. I can look at my life and see whether or not I have that virtue, that which is moral courage. I can look at my life and know whether or not I'm showing a brotherly kindness. These aren't abstract art. These aren't a canvas that's white with a purple line in it, and the purple line turns out to be the progress of the Western civilization between, you get the point. In other words, they're thinking what? This isn't something abstract. These are words, these are attitudes and actions that I can examine myself in and ask, am I lagging in diligence? Reading on with the passage continuing to the end. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more here diligent. Be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles over to Ephesians for a moment, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we'll read the first few verses of that passage. 1-6, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Remember, we're talking about Romans 12. In verse 11, not lagging in diligence. So walk worthy with all lowliness of mind and gentleness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verses 2 and 3, again, show us things that we can observe within our lives. And by answering the questions honestly, can make an assessment of whether or not we are with haste walking with the Lord, or are we lagging behind? Not only are we not to be lagging in diligence, we are to be fervent in spirit. This indeed emphasizes an attitude of mind that says, I know what my labors are, and I'm willing to labor in the Lord. Here am I, send me. The song that we love to sing, Here Am I, Send Me, is an obligation we all take on as children of God if we are fervent in spirit. The idea of fervent here means it is to bubble over, boiling up. That's the idea. Our spirit is boiling up within us. Listen, we find ourselves looking at charismatics at times, whether we've been to their services or watched them on television, to where everybody's hopping and jumping around and everybody. I grew up in the Upper Ohio Valley, not far from a place they would have summer camp meetings. They called themselves Holy Rollers. And it was because they had straw out in the aisleways, and they thought they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and they would literally get down and start rolling in the aisles. And so they called themselves Holy Rollers. They weren't taking it, it's not meant as a derogatory term at all. I think they were completely misguided. that is not, from what the Scriptures say, is any indication of the Spirit of God being in us. Because they do it in an extreme that's outside the context of Scripture, doesn't mean that we, as children of God, suppress our enthusiasm for serving God. There should be a bubbling within us of the Spirit to share the gospel of Christ. We look around and often ask ourselves, why don't we seem to have opportunities here? Why don't we seem to have opportunities here? Why aren't we growing numerically in this? Why aren't we growing numerically in that? And what it really comes back to oftentimes is an examination within each and every one of us to say, does the fervent spirit that I have manifest itself in front of the people that I know? And I don't mean just the people at church. The neighbors around me, the people I work with. Are there opportunities for me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Am I bubbling over? Am I boiling with the message of Christ? And want to tell others? That's the fervency of spirit that we possess. We go back to Colossians, there in chapter 3 and verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, as that part of the passage states. Serving the Lord has within it that sense of active participation in service to God. It is not simply the intellect of knowing I'm a Christian. It manifests itself in that fervency of spirit. It manifests itself in that diligence, that haste to do what God would want us to do. We find ourselves indeed motivated by the fact that we are serving the Lord, even in a very secular world. Again in Ephesians, this time the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. What hinders us then sometimes in this service? I think sometimes it's the fact that we just don't have diligent pursuit. I think sometimes it is the fact that we allow ourselves to get caught up in the affairs of life. I think you've heard me say often that many times it's not the overt sins following Satan that are the most dangerous to us, but rather it is carrying out the things that get us through the day, doing the stuff that needs to be done, that so preoccupies our times that we leave no diligence within ourselves for serving God and doing it in the right way. We become slothful in how much Bible we read, how prepared we are for Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study, how ready we are for our children, how ready are they for their Bible classes. How much of the Word do you get into during the course of the week, separate and apart from preparing for a Bible study? Do we find ourselves slothful in the Lord's business? Do we find ourselves slothful when it comes to prayer time? Do we find ourselves slothful in time for others? Because again, We're busy doing the things we do. And at the end of the week, we did the things we had to do in the carrying out of our life. But how much of it involved our giving of ourselves to someone else in worship to God, in service to God, in glorifying God? The work within the church that we involve ourselves in. Are you willing to teach? Are you willing to be a part of the program here in teaching those young children of the grace of God and the wonderful blessings in Him? Are you willing to help them to understand the spiritual heritage that is found throughout the Bible? Maybe it's time to step up. Maybe you don't think you're reaching the point or are at the point where you should lead the class, but can you be a helper within that class? It's a question of diligent service to God. It's a question of how we are going to develop our talents and whether or not we're going to truly be involved in the fight against Satan. Don't let yourself be the second or third guard in the fight against Satan. Come to the front lines. Do it with haste. Let's do all we can to grow spiritually as a congregation, to look for opportunities to grow in sharing the gospel with people around us, because we're bubbling over in service to God. That's what our purpose must be, and that's what our point must be. And until we understand that, then we are not going to be doing service right. Let's open our songbooks to the song of encouragement.